श्रीगुरुर्वैष्णवाश्च श्रीरूपं साग्रजातं सहगणरघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनसहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधाकृष्णपादां सहगणललिता श्रीविशाखान्वितांश्च नमो विष्णुपादाय कृष्णप्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदान्त स्वामिनिति नामिने नमस्ते सारस्वतीदेवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्यदेशतारिणे मुखं करोति वाचालम् लङ्घयते गिरिं यत्कृपातमहं वन्दे श्रीगुरुं दीनतारिणं वाञ्छाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्य एव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः नमो महावदान्याय कृष्णप्रेमप्रदायते कृष्णाय कृष्ण चैतन्य नामने गौरत्विषे नमः पञ्चतत्त्वात्मकं कृष्णं भक्तरूपस्वरूपकं भक्तावतारं भक्ताख्यं नमामि भक्तशक्तिकम् आराध्यो भगवान् व्रजेशतनयस्तद्धाम वृन्दावनम् रम्या काचिदुपासना व्रजवधू वरदेन या कल्पिता श्रीमद्भागवतं प्रमाणममलं प्रेमपुमार्थो महान् श्रीचैतन्य महाप्रभोर्मतमिदं तत्रादरः न परः हे कृष्ण करुणा सिन्धो दीनबन्धो जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिका कांत राधा कांत नमोस्तुते तत्त कांचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानु सुते देवी प्रणमामि हरि प्रिये जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभो नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्त वृंद हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे। जय जय श्री चैतन्य जय नित्यानंद जय अद्वैत चंद्र जय गौर भक्त वृंद जय जय श्री चैतन्य जय नित्यानंद जय अद्वैत चंद्र जय गौर भक्त वृंद जय जय श्री चैतन्य जय नित्यानंद जय अद्वैत चंद्र जय गौर भक्त वृंद हरे कृष्णा। So yesterday we have been talking about the life and pastimes of Srila Swarup Damodar Goswami, who arguably is considered to be probably the most important associate of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Jagannath Puri. We talked a bit about his importance, how close he was to Mahaprabhu, how much happiness he gave Mahaprabhu in those periods of intimate association. We also briefly spoke about how he left Navadvip to take sannyas in Kashi. Eventually, he returned to Jagannath Puri to be in the association of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The Gaudiya Vaishnava Abhidhan describes that the name of the father of Swarup Damodar Goswami was Padma Garbha Acharya, and he named his son as Purushottam, so he was Purushottam Acharya. His mother's name, Purushottam Acharya's mother's name, that is Padma Garbha's wife's name, is not known, but her father's name was Jay Narayan Chakravarti. And he lived on the banks of the Brahmaputra in what is present day Bangladesh. Sometime later, Jay Narayan Chakravarti shifted to Navadvip. Subsequently, he arranged for the marriage of his daughter to Padma Garbha Acharya. He invited Padma Garbha Acharya to come and reside in Navadvip, which the latter gladly did. And it was in Navadvip that Purushottam Acharya, later to be known as Swarup Damodar Goswami, was born. Sometime after his birth, his father, Padma Garbha Acharya, departed for Mithila and for Kashi, that is Banaras, to pursue studies in the scriptures. So, young Swarup Damodar, who was known as Purushottam at that time, he grew up in his maternal grandparents' home. And it was only subsequently that he left for Kashi, took to the renounced order of life, but as we saw, he didn't accept all the symptoms of sannyas life in the Mayavada Sampradaya out of a desire to not get any respect for himself, and in order to not draw attention to himself, he simply wanted to serve Krishna. Upon arrival in Jagannath Puri, when he had the first darshan of Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu, he chanted a particular verse, which we all chanted yesterday. And thereupon, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu welcomed him very, very warmly. And this is how Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami describes the meeting of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Swarup Damodar Goswami. Immediately after Swarup Damodar Goswami has chanted that particular verse, Utha Mahaprabhu koyo alingam durjane prema veshe hoylo achitan. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu raised Swarup Damodar to his feet and embraced him. Kailo alingan, that is embraced. Durjane prema veshe hoylo achetan. They both became achetan, that is unconscious, and prema vesh in ecstasy. They both became ecstatic in love and fell unconscious. Katakshane durjane sthira jabe hoila tabe mahaprabhu tare koi bola gira. After they had regained their patience, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu began to speak. तुम्हें जे आशीते आजी स्वप्न ते देखिया भालो हेलो अंधजन दुई नेत्र पाइला. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is now expressing his great satisfaction at Swarup Damodar Goswami's having arrived. in Puri. He says, I saw in a dream that you were coming, but, and so this is very auspicious. I have been like a blind man, but your coming here has restored my vision. Sarup kahe prabhu rakshama aparad, toma chari anitra genu korinu pramad. On his part, Sarup Damodar began to lament that he had made a great mistake. What was his mistake? Sarup said, My dear Lord, please excuse my offense. I gave up your company to go elsewhere. Elsewhere means to Kashi, Banaras, to take sannyas. And that was my great mistake. Tumara charan aram nahi pramalesh, tuma chari papi mui ginu anyadesh. My dear Lord, I do not possess even a trace of love for your lotus feet. If I did, could I have gone to another country? I am therefore a most sinful man. Swarup Damodar is lamenting that he should not have left Mahaprabhu and gone. That he went to Kashi to take sannyas and he lost valuable association of Mahaprabhu, and therefore he considers himself in his humility as being very sinful. Mohi toma chadila tumi hori ma chadila kripa pasha gole bandhi charane anila. I gave up your company, mohi toma chadila, but tumi hori na chadila, but you did not give me up. That is a characteristic of the Supreme Lord. That the Lord never gives up his eternal part and parcels, his devotees. And then Swarup Damodar says, Kripa Pasha Gole Bandhi, by the rope of mercy you have bound me by the neck, Charan Anila, and again you have brought me to your lotus feet. So this is the Lord's mercy upon his devotees. Even if the devotee happens to stray from the Lord forcibly brings the devotee back to his lotus feet. This is a sign of the Lord's mercy. This is a sign of how the Lord becomes so indebted to even some slight devotional service that has been rendered by the devotee. And then Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami describes that Swarup Damodar Goswami worshipped the lotus feet of Nityananda Prabhu, and Nityananda Prabhu in turn also embraced him in the ecstasy of love. After worshipping Nityananda Prabhu, Swarup Damodar Goswami met the other devotees who were there at that time, like Jagadananda, Mukunda, Shankar and Sarvabhauma, and he met them each in a manner that was befitting. To those who were older, he offered his respects, and to those who were equal, he embraced, and so on. These are the various forms of etiquette for greeting others. And Swarup Damodar also offered his worshipful prayers at the lotus feet of Paramananda Puri, who in return embraced him in ecstatic love. And then Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu personally arranged a place of residence for Swarup Damodar in a solitary place, because he understood that Swarup Damodar wanted some solitude. And he ordered a servant to serve him with a supply of water and other necessities. So now that Swarup Damodar had arrived in Jagannath Puri, there was no looking back. He remained there for the rest of his life. He became probably the most integral, inseparable part of the devotee community there who were surrounding Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He was practically indispensable there. The Lord would never be separated from Swarup Damodar Goswami. Even in the Mantilila days, what to speak of the Antilila times, when he and Ramananda Rai in particular were very, very intimate with the Lord, Even in the early days of Swaroop Damodar's stay in Jagannath Puri, it is said that it was only Swaroop Damodar who actually understood Mahaprabhu's heart completely, and it was Swaroop Damodar who acted like a guardian to protect the conclusions of devotional service as propounded, understood and practiced by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So in this regard, Kaviraj Goswami has glorified this particular contribution of Swaroop Damodar Goswami. And this is how Kaviraj Goswami describes.
Grantha Shloka Gita Keho Prabhu Pashayane Swaroop Pariksha Ko Le Pache Prabhu Shune.
If somebody wrote a Grantha, Grantha means a book or a scripture, or if he composed some shloka or some verses, or if he wrote a song, and if he brought it to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to read, then, my dear Lord, I have written such and such a poem or such a book, kindly read it. So Swaroop Damodar acted like his secretary to screen everything that went to Mahaprabhu. Nothing would pass by Swaroop Damodar easily. He had a very scrutinizing eye, and he would check every verse, every poem, every drama, any form of literature very, very carefully. And only after he had checked it and he had given his stamp of approval would it eventually go ahead to be heard by Mahaprabhu. So this was the important role Swaroop Damodar played, acting as Mahaprabhu's secretary. And in this way he also acted as a guardian, because he would make sure that the other devotees would also not hear anything that was not authentic, that was not authorized according to the devotional conclusions as taught by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So this is very important, because there are so many different opinions. The nature of the conditioned soul is to speculate. And because of such speculation, the speculative nature, we find the imposition also takes place in devotional conclusions. And as a result, even after Mahaprabhu departed from this world and returned back to the spiritual Navadvipa, the spiritual world, there were many, many apasampradayas that grew up after his departure. And according to their speculative natures, they modified, they distorted the teachings of Mahaprabhu. And so many apasampradayas sprung up. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur has listed almost 13 such apasampradayas. And nowadays we have so many more apasampradayas coming up even after Prabhupada's teachings. Like we have the Ritvik apasampradaya. We have so many such apasampradayas coming up, where each give their speculative philosophy from the Shastra. So Swaroop Damodar was very much cautious and aware that people would come with different kinds of philosophies, and in order to protect the devotional creeper of the devotee community, he would be like the guardian, and he would make sure that nobody would speak anything that was improper. And if it passed his scrutiny and he recommended that particular work, then Mahaprabhu would happily hear it, having understood that if Swaroop Damodar has passed it, it must be perfect. It must be worthy of me relishing. Then Kaviraj Goswami explains, Bhakti Siddhanta Viruddha Arara Sabhas Shunite Nahare Prabhu Chittera Ullas. Bhakti Siddhanta Viruddha. Siddhanta means conclusion, Viruddha means opposed. So there were two things that Mahaprabhu never liked to hear. One is any particular statement that went against or contradicted the principles of devotional service. Bhakti Siddhanta Viruddha. He didn't like that. And the second was Rasabhas, the overlapping of rasas or the devotional mellows. শুনিতে না হয় প্রভুর চিত্তের উল্লাস. চিত্ত মিন্স হিজ মাইন্ড কনশিয়াসনেস, উল্লাস মিন্স হ্যাপিনেস. সো গৌরাঙ্গ মহাপ্রভু নেভার ফেল্ট এনি হ্যাপিনেস ইফ এনিবডি কেম ফরওয়ার্ড টু রিসাইট সমথিং দ্যাট ওয়াজ এগেনস্ট দ্য ডিভোশনাল কনক্লুশনস অর সমথিং দ্যাট was an overlapping of devotional sentiment. Let us see how Srila Prabhupada defines these two. Purport, Prabhupada says, Bhakti Siddhanta Viruddha refers to that which is against the principle of unity in diversity, philosophically known as Achintya Bheda Bheda Tattva, simultaneous oneness and difference. Whereas Rasabhas is something that may appear to be a transcendental mellow, but actually is not. Those who are pure Vaishnavas should avoid both these things opposed to devotional service. These misconceptions practically parallel the Mayavad philosophy. If one indulges in Mayavad philosophy, he gradually falls down from the platform of devotional service. By overlapping mellows or rasabhas, one eventually becomes a prakrita sahajya and takes everything to be very easy. One may also become a member of the Baula community. Baula is another one of these upper sampradayas. The prakrita sahajiyas are also an upper sampradaya. The prakrita sahajiyas are those who take devotional service very cheaply. Sometimes you may see them here in Vrindavan. You may have some men who will dress themselves as gopis and imagine that they are gopis, and they will address each other as sakhis and so on. Although they are not qualified, they don't understand that the designation as gopis is on the spiritual platform, not on the bodily platform. One doesn't become a maidservant of Krishna in the mood of the gopis by simply dressing as a gopi. Some year or two ago, there was a famous incident, or rather an infamous incident, in this state, in Uttar Pradesh, where a very top police official in the state decided that he was Srimati Radharani. And he came to his office in the police headquarters wearing the dress of a sakhi. And naturally, as we can imagine, it caused quite a stir. And very soon he was terminated from his services. But he wasn't about to let go everything so easily. And this was exactly what the media were looking for. They lapped it up very nicely. They made a lot of propaganda about this. He gave his interviews and everything. And soon enough, another man who was a peon in a government office in Bihar decided that he was Krishna. And now that Radha had appeared in somewhere in Lucknow, that he should go there to find her. And this caused another big story in the press. So these are some examples of how people behave so foolishly and discredit the whole path of devotional service because they don't understand the devotional conclusions. They take everything very cheaply. So Mahaprabhu was very much against this false practice of devotional service. Although Mahaprabhu exhibited the highest ecstatic symptoms ever possible in the path of Krishna consciousness, but he was very strict to see that there should be no artificial imitation of such things. And he was even wary of exhibiting these ecstatic symptoms in public. Mostly he would do them only in the intimate association of his very close devotees. So Prabhupada explains here that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has therefore advised us to avoid Bhakti Siddhanta Viruddha and Rasabhas. In this way, devotees can remain pure and free from fall down. So then what was Swarup Damodara's role here? Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami explains. Atava Swarup Age Kari Pariksha Shuddha Yadi Prabhu Karana Korana Shravan It was a practice of Swarup Damodar Goswami to examine all literatures to find out whether their conclusions were correct. Only then would he allow them to be heard by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Again, Prabhupada has given some very nice purports. Swarup Damodar Srila Prabhupada says, never approved such followers. Such followers meaning those who follow these wrong devotional principles as Gaudiya Vaishnavas. Nor did he allow them even to meet the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And in this connection, there are so many pastimes that are described by Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, the Chaitanya Charitamrita. One pastime pertains to one devotee called Bhagavan Acharya. Bhagavan Acharya was a very nice, pure devotee of the Lord. He was very simple. He was a gentleman. He was a learned scholar, a great devotee. And he was fully absorbed in thoughts of fraternal relationships with Krishna. Fraternal means sakya. He was thinking of himself as a cowherd boy, because he was an incarnation of a cowherd boy. And thus his dealings with Swarup Damodar Goswami were very friendly. At the same time, Bhagavan Acharya was also very simple. And he had sought the shelter of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu with his full heart, with full surrender. And sometimes he would invite the Lord to take prasadam at his house, and the Lord would accept. And now Bhagavan Acharya's father's name was Shatananda Khan. He was a statesman, but he was very, very materialistic. He had no interest in devotional life. And somehow or other, his son, Bhagavan Acharya, turned out to be completely the opposite. Bhagavan Acharya was so renounced, he was almost like a sannyasi. And he had no interest in affairs of government and enjoyment and so on. He had a brother whose name was Gopal Bhattacharya. Now, as it happened, Gopal Bhattacharya had studied many years in Kashi. And as you know, Kashi or Banaras is the headquarters of the Mayavadis. So anyone who goes there to study from the sannyasis there will become very strong in the Mayavad conclusions. So Gopal Bhattacharya had now become thoroughly trained as a good Mayavadi. So he came back and he returned to Bhagavan Acharya's home. At that time, Bhagavan Acharya took his brother to meet Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, because he had direct access to Mahaprabhu. So somehow or other, he went and took him to Mahaprabhu. Mahaprabhu was not at all happy, because Mahaprabhu, being the Supreme Lord, is also in the heart of every living entity, and he understood the mind of Gopal Bhattacharya. He understood that Gopal was actually a Mayavadi, and therefore Mahaprabhu derived no happiness from meeting those who were not devotees of the Lord. Nonetheless, because, just see, this is the mercy of the Lord. Nonetheless, because Gopal Bhattacharya was related to Bhagavan Acharya, and Bhagavan Acharya was so dear to Mahaprabhu, so Mahaprabhu pretended to be happy upon seeing Gopal Bhattacharya. So this was Mahaprabhu's message, that basically if anyone is dear to his devotees, then that person also becomes dear to Mahaprabhu. But Mahaprabhu was very particular that if someone is following the Mayavad philosophy, then he said, this person can never please me. Because a Mayavad conclusion goes against the principle of service to the Supreme Lord. So Bhagavan Acharya told Swarup Damodar Goswami, see, Gopal, my younger brother, has returned from Kashi. He has now become a great scholar of the Vedanta. And having studied this, he wishes to talk about this to all the devotees. So please arrange that he can speak about Vedanta to all our devotees. Many times we have requests, people keep coming here, that we would like to speak to the devotees on such and such. You know, I give kathas so and so place, or I speak here such and such. So please allow us to come and speak. So one has to be so careful, because one never knows, even if somebody externally seems to be speaking about Krishna, but what the conclusions are, we can never really know unless we hear them completely, by which time sufficient damage is already done to the heart. And we'll see this in a later pastime of Swarup Damodar Goswami, also with Bhagavan Acharya. So Swarup Damodar Goswami became somewhat angry when he heard the plea of Gopal, of Bhagavan Acharya. But because Bhagavan Acharya was his very close friend, and he loved Bhagavan Acharya, therefore out of love, he began to chastise Bhagavan Acharya. And what was his chastisement? Let us hear in Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami's words.
Buddhi bhrasht holo tomar gopaler sange mayavada shunibar upajila range.
So he said, buddhi bhrasht holo tomar. He said, you have lost your intelligence gopaler sange, in the association of your brother Gopal. And therefore, mayavada shunibare upajila rangi. And therefore, you have suddenly desired to hear mayavad philosophy. Swarup Damodar never minced words. He was quite a straight talker.
Vaishnava jeba sharirak bhashya shuni sevya seva bhavachari apanar ishwar mani.
Vaishnava hana, being a Vaishnava, jeba shariraka bhashya shune, when a Vaishnava listens to the shariraka bhashya, this shariraka bhashya is the commentary written by Shankaracharya on the Vedanta Sutra. So that is like their most important scripture, because that gives the Mayavad conclusions very, very nicely. So Swarup Damodar said, when a Vaishnava listens to the Shariraka Bhashya, the Mayavadi commentary upon the Vedanta Sutra, he gives up the Krishna conscious attitude that the Lord is the master and the living entity is his servant. Sevya Sevak Bhava Chadi. Sevya and Sevak. Sevak is a servant, and Sevya is the person who is served, the master. So when a devotee hears Mayavad philosophy, then he loses the distinction of the servant and the master. The devotee is always a servant. The living entity is always a servant of the Supreme Lord. But by hearing Mayavad philosophy, we lose that conception, and instead we develop another conception. What is that? Apanari Ishwara Mane. One considers oneself to be the Supreme Lord. Even in the Nectar of Devotion we hear Hanuman's prayer, where he says that, my dear Lord, I don't want to have anything to do with merging into your impersonal effulgence, because then there is no conception of servant and master. I will never be able to serve you. If I become one with you, how can I serve you? And if there is no service, where is the question of bhakti or love or prema developing, which is ultimately the goal of life? Then Swarup Damodar continued.
Mahabhagavat jehi Krishna pranadhan jar mayavada shravana chitta avashya phiretar.
It's a very strong statement. He says, Mahabhagavat jehi. Even if there is someone who is a Mahabhagavat, a very exalted devotee of Krishna, Krishna Pranadhana Jai, who has accepted Krishna as his life and soul, Mayavadi Shravane, if he listens to Mayavad philosophy, Chitte Avashya Phiretar, his mind will no doubt, undoubtedly become disturbed. Prabhupada's translation. the Mayavad philosophy presents such a jugglery of words that even a highly elevated devotee who has accepted Krishna as his life and soul changes his decision when he reads the Mayavad commentary on the Vedanta Sutra. So Swarup Damodar is saying, it's not just a neophyte. It's not that hearing Mayavad philosophy is a danger only for neophyte devotees. Swarup Damodar Goswami is saying, even for Mahabhagavats it is dangerous. Because even a Mahabhagavat's mind can be deviated from the principles of pure devotional service if he listens to the word jugglery of the Mayavadis. Because Shankara was brilliant as a logician. The kinds of logic that he has presented, as far as a common man is concerned, are so attractive that sometimes even devotees can get bewildered. So it needs devotees of the caliber of Ramanujacharya, Madhvacharya, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and here of course like Swarup Damodar Goswami, who can soundly refute the Mayavad principles. And Mayavad preaching is also very aggressive. I remember many years ago in Calcutta, I had gone out to distribute books. And I particularly went to a place where I had seen a billboard advertising one famous Mayavadi sannyasi who was going to speak on the topic, "You are the whole." That was the topic. W-H-O-L-E, you are the whole. That means you are the complete. You are not part. That's our philosophy, that we are the part and parcel of the Lord. But the Mayavadis say that no, you are not the part and parcel, you are the whole. And when I went into the auditorium, I first, let me go and see. I was always fearing, because I had read this before. So I was fearing, should I go in, I shouldn't go in. And then I thought, yes, we should distribute some books, let me go and see. Those were the early days of devotional service and we were very fired up and wanting to go to even dangerous places to go and preach. So we went inside and this man was, he was mesmerizing. He was walking up and down the stage. He was a powerful orator. And the way he was talking, everybody was captivated completely by the way he was speaking. And he was talking, he was saying, "Don't think you are small. You are not small. There are many who say you are just a tiny part, but you are not the tiny part. You are the whole." And he went on elaborating about this. And he was criticizing the devotees very much. And ultimately it became intolerable and we had to leave. And then I realized I should never again go in to hear, even if it's to distribute books, unless you go in with earplugs. And perhaps with dark glasses so as to not see the person who is speaking. It's very offensive, very offensive. The many things he was saying about devotional conclusions, which I will not repeat here. At another time, there was another famous sannyasi, whom Prabhupada has also criticized very much in his conversations. He is no more now, he passed away just a few years ago, only about maybe 5 or 10 years ago. So, as I was passing by, this was in Bombay, and he was giving a lecture in a pandal, and passing by, I saw this hoarding, so I said, why not? I had a few books. Why not go in and see? And as I entered the pandal from the rear entrance, everybody was sitting, the program was already halfway through. So as I made an entrance, it was obvious. He saw me from the distance sitting on the big stage. He saw me coming in my saffron cloth and obviously with my tilak. And he had been talking about the verse, a particular verse from Bhagavad Gita, where he's talking about chanting. One particular verse, I don't remember exactly now. And he was saying how actually the process of kirtanam is not, he was explaining his own conception. Then he saw me. And then he said, this shravanam here, this kirtanam, doesn't mean chanting Hare Rama, Hare Krishna. That is not what it means. And then he went on to take digs at me all the way through for the next half an hour. I stayed patiently in order that somebody would notice me, so they would come up and take books probably later. So in this way, these Mayavadis, sometimes they are very empowered speakers. They are very charismatic, and they present things in such a flowery way that the ordinary people just get carried away. What to speak of ordinary people? Even devotees sometimes get disturbed. And once it's these Mayavadi conclusions sink into the mind, it is very hard to take them out. In Mayapur many years ago, I met one devotee. I will not mention his name, but he was just confiding in one conversation. And he was saying that I am now in Krishna consciousness for 24 years. But this conversation took place about 10 years back. He says, I am here in this movement for 24 years. Before I came to Krishna consciousness, I was associating with some Mayavadis. Until today, sometimes I get a doubt in my mind. Is God a person? How can God be a person? He was initiated personally by Srila Prabhupada. But that thing is haunting him. It's hard for him to get it out of his mind. Then how can it be? How is it that God is a person? Elsewhere also, Mahaprabhu has said, Mayavadi bhashya shunile hoy sarvanash. So it's a fact. Many times in the bigger cities, or even here in Vrindavan, many times you will find many sadhus giving kathas. They speak on Bhagavatam, they speak on Krishna Leela, but actually they are Mayavadis. Their conclusion is not devotional. Their conclusion is that they want to ultimately merge with the Lord, or they want to become the Lord. So one has to be so careful. Some years ago, somebody presented me a tape, cassette. In those days, CDs and what you call iPods were not known. This simple good old tape, cassette tape. And he said, this person said, oh, since you're a devotee of Krishna, this is very nice. He's talking, he's chanting about Krishna all through. And in between his songs, he glorifies Krishna. So please hear it. So I was a little happy. I said, all right, let me see in here. And I was fast forwarding and going on and on hearing. So all through it seemed to be just glorifying the holy name, glorifying Krishna. And at the very end, at the conclusion of the cassette, after he had sung his last kirtan or bhajan, and he wound up by saying something like, merging with the cosmic oneness. And that was it. 45 minutes, somebody hears the whole tape, and at the end of it, what is the conclusion? Full of glorification of Krishna and the holy name. And the conclusion is that we have to merge with the cosmic oneness. So it's very deceptive. Many times, devotees can also think, oh, it's all right, he's talking only about Krishna. He's chanting the holy names. But that may be, but they're not actually chanting the holy names. Because they don't, their conception of the holy name is something quite different from the way Mahaprabhu has presented. So Swarup Damodar Goswami understood these things very well. And he was a guardian of the devotees. He would never let anything loose pass by like this. Just like Prabhupada was so vigilant to point out any deviation from the proper philosophical conclusions, he would immediately pull up his disciples and point out, yes, this is not correct. So this was Swarup Damodar's role. So then we can see an example of that, of how he was chastising Bhagavan Acharya. So to continue Swarup Damodar's statements, that Mayavada Shravana Chitta Avashya Phiretartha, even for Mahabhagavat, his mind can get turned. He can turn away from devotional conclusions by hearing Mayavad. But Bhagavan Acharya was not convinced. So he tried to put forward some arguments. Acharya kahe amashavar Krishna nishtha chitte Ahasabhar Manabhashir Nare Pirayate. So Bhagavan Acharya said, in spite of Swarup Damodar's protest, we are all fixed at the lotus feet of Krishna with our hearts and souls. Therefore the Shariraka Bhashya cannot change our minds. And Swarup Goswami, Swarup Damodar retorted,
Swarup kahe tathapi mayavad shravane chita brahma maya mithya ei matra shune.
Swarup Damodar replied, Nevertheless means, yes, you may be fixed at the lotus feet of Krishna, I grant that. Still,
Mayavadi Shravani, when we hear the Mayavad philosophy, what do we hear? Chit, Brahma, Maya, Mithya.
We hear that Brahman is knowledge. Brahma is chit or knowledge. And this Maya, everything else, the universe is Maya, that is false. But we gain no spiritual understanding.
Brahma Satya Jagat Mithya, that's all we hear.
But no positive, concrete spiritual understanding.
Jiva Jnana Kalpita Ishvare Sakala Ijnana Jahara Shravane Bhakte Phate Mana Pran.
The Mayavadi philosopher tries to establish that the living entity is only imaginary.
Jiva Ajnana Kalpita
Sakala I Ajnana, all ignorance, that everything is ignorance, everything is imaginary, and that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is under the influence of Maya. That is actually the definition of Mayavad. Many times people think Mayavad means if somebody is under Maya, he has fallen into Maya, then he is a Mayavadi. One time one devotee said, oh my friend, he is a Mayavadi. Said, really? So, said, yeah, you know, he goes to cinema, he goes here, he goes there. I said, that is not Mayavadi. To say that a person is in Maya, that is not a Mayavadi. Mayavadi is a person who believes the conclusion that the form of the Lord is Maya. Is illusion, is that the Lord's form and the Lord descends into this world, His body is also made up of material elements. That the Lord is not a person who is spiritual, that is Mayavad. So I'll repeat the translation. The Mayavad philosopher tries to establish that the living entity is only imaginary and that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is under the influence of Maya. Hearing this kind of commentary breaks the heart and life of a devotee.
Bhaktir phate mana pran.
So even though we may be fixed up devotees, but to hear conclusions which go against the principle of Krishna consciousness breaks the heart of the devotee. So after having said this, Bhagavan Acharya, he became repentant.
Lajja bhaya pana acharya mona hoila aradina gopale ra deshe pathaila.
Thus Bhagavan Acharya became greatly ashamed and fearful, and he remained silent. The next day he asked Gopal Bhattacharya to return to his own district. He said, Gopal, I think it's better you go back. There's no scope for you here. Neither we want to hear you now. So you go back to Kashi, you go back wherever you want. But we don't like your Mayavad philosophy. So being guided by Swarup Damodar Goswami, Bhagavan Acharya was saved from hearing all this Mayavad philosophy. Further, there is another pastime that Kaviraj Goswami describes in the Antilila, chapter 5 of the Chaitanya Charitamrita. One time, one Brahmana, who was also a poet, came to Jagannath Puri. And he had written a drama about the characteristics of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he came with his manuscript to induce the Lord to hear it. Everybody wanted to show, everybody who wrote anything wanted to come and show it to Mahaprabhu. I have written a book, please read. I have written this song, please read it. So therefore Mahaprabhu had already delegated Swarup Damodar to screen. the Brahmana was acquainted with Bhagavan Acharya. So once again, poor Bhagavan Acharya got involved. And after meeting him at Jagannath Puri, the Brahmana made his residence at Bhagavan Acharya's home. First, the Brahmana induced Bhagavan Acharya to hear the drama, and then many other devotees joined Bhagavan Acharya in listening to it. Although Bhagavan Acharya was a great devotee, but being simple, sometimes he could not distinguish the proper conclusions from the improper conclusions. So if something sounded that it was as if it was glorifying Krishna, he appreciated that very much. So his heart was pure. He had no envy. But the power of discrimination was not as strong as Swarup Damodar would have liked it to be. And when Bhagavan Acharya was hearing this poet's compositions in the drama, then other devotees came as well. And they also started hearing this drama. And all the Vaishnavas started praising the drama. Shravai prashanshe nataka parama uttam mahaprabhu reshunite shravai rahailaman. All the Vaishnavas praised the drama, saying, very good, very good. They also desired that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu hear the drama. And then Kaviraj Goswami says, Gita shloka grantha kavitta jai kore ane prathame shunaye sheshwarupera sthane. Customarily, anyone who composed a song, a verse, literary composition or poem about Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu first had to bring it to Swarup Damodar Goswami to be heard. Swarup thani uttare jadi lanatarama tabe Mahaprabhu thani koraye shravan. If passed by Swarup Damodar Goswami, it could be presented for Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to hear. Rasa bhasa hoy jodi siddhanta viruddha sahitena pare prabhu mone hoy krodhan. If there were a hint that transcendental mellows overlapped in a manner contrary to the principles of the bhakti cult, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would not tolerate it and would become very angry. In Srila Prabhupada's purport in this verse, he has quoted a very long commentary of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur on what the meaning of rasa bhas really is. Atayava prabhu kichu agina hishyamen ehi marjada prabhu koriyachi niyamen. Therefore Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would not hear anything before Swarup Damodar heard it first. The Lord made this etiquette a regulative principle. It was not just an etiquette or a maryada. A maryada prabhu koriyachi niyam. He made this etiquette a very strong rule, never to be broken. So then, Bhagavan Acharya came to Swarup Damodar and submitted to Swarup Damodar Goswami. A good Brahmana has prepared a drama about Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that appears exceptionally well composed. First you hear it, and if it is acceptable to your mind, I shall request Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to hear it. Then Swarup Damodar Goswami, he already had the incident of his brother Gopal in mind, so he began to gently admonish him again. Swarup kahe tumi gopa parama udar jeshe shastra shunite ichha upaje tumar. Swarup Damodar replied, Dear Bhagavan Acharya, you are a very liberal cowherd boy. Sometimes the desire awakens within you to hear any kind of poetry. Swarup Damodar understood the constitutional position of Bhagavan Acharya and Krishna Leela as a cowherd boy. He said, you are really a cowherd boy, you are so liberal. You want to hear any shastra, any work that comes along, you want to hear it. Jeshe Shastra. Jeshe Shastra means anything written. The desire arises in your mind to hear it. Jatya tadda kabir vakye hoy rasa bhas siddhanta viruddha shunite na hoy ullas. Jatya tadda kabir. That means of any so-called poet. So in the writings of so-called poets, there is generally a possibility of overlapping transcendental mellows. When the mellows thus go against the conclusive understanding, no one likes to hear such poetry. So Prabhupada explains, Jadva Todda Kavi refers to anyone who writes poetry without knowledge of how to do so. Writing poetry, especially poetry concerning the Vaishnava conclusion, is very difficult. If one writes poetry without proper knowledge, there is every possibility that the mellows will overlap. When this occurs, no learned or advanced Vaishnava will like to hear it. So Swarup Damodar said,
Rasa rasa bhas jar nahi ka vichar, bhakti siddhanta sindhu nahi paya par.
A so-called poet who has no knowledge of transcendental mellows and the overlapping of transcendental mellows cannot cross the ocean of the conclusions of devotional service. And then he went on to say, a poet who does not know the grammatical regulative principles, who is unfamiliar with metaphorical ornaments, especially those employed in drama, and who does not know how to present the pastimes of Lord Krishna, is condemned. Moreover, the pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu are especially difficult to understand. You see, the writing of dramas, the writing of poetries, was a very evolved art in Vedic culture. There were so many rules and regulations that were there for writing. And we hear when Rupa Goswami wrote a drama and he was in Jagannath Puri, and Mahaprabhu and the other devotees asked that they wanted to hear it. Rupa Goswami was very shy to read out his compositions. But when he was persuaded by the devotees, he began to read. And Rai Ramananda, who was also an expert Vaishnava dramatist, he praised Rupa Goswami upon hearing his invocative verses. And he said, very wonderful. Your expertise is unparalleled. You have written very correctly everything. Nowadays, of course, there is no such rules for writing poetry, writing songs, writing dramas, anything goes. In today's art and culture, there is no question of any rules or regulations. In today's music, you hear the kind of lyrics that are there in mundane music, they don't make any sense. In fact, the more nonsense the lyrics are, the more popular they become. And dramas, literature, poetry, modern art, there's just no pattern, there is no rule. It's just supposedly, spontaneously, they just compose anything and everything. But Vedic art, Vedic drama, Vedic music was a very evolved thing. One had to be very educated in this art to be able to compose dramas, to be able to write music, to write verses, and so on. One who has accepted the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as his life and soul can describe the pastimes of Lord Krishna or the pastimes of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Hearing the poetry of a person who has no transcendental knowledge and who writes about the relationships between man and woman simply causes unhappiness. Whereas, hearing the words of a devotee fully absorbed in ecstatic love causes great happiness. The standard for writing dramas has been set by Rupa Goswami. If a devotee hears the introductory portions of his two dramas, they enhance his transcendental pleasure. So he's referring to the same episode that I just referred to. But despite the explanations of Swarup Damodar, Bhagavan Acharya was not convinced. So he requested, please hear the drama once. If you hear it, you can consider whether it is good or bad. For 2 or 3 days, Bhagavan Acharya continually asked Swarup Damodar to hear the poetry. Because of his repeated requests, Swarup Damodar Goswami wanted to hear the poetry written by the Brahmana from Bengal. Swarup Damodar was initially very apprehensive, very suspicious, because he didn't know the background of this poet. And he thought that anyone who is not completely familiar and educated with devotional conclusions cannot write proper poetry. So I don't want to hear him. But because Bhagavan Acharya was persuading him for 2 or 3 days, finally he agreed. He said, "All right, let me hear." Swarup Damodar Goswami sat down with the other devotees to hear the poetry, and the poet began to read the introductory verse. I will not read the verse itself, I will only read the translation. And this was only the introductory verse, only the first verse. "The Supreme Personality of Godhead has assumed a golden complexion and has become the soul of the body named Lord Jagannath, whose blooming lotus eyes are widely expanded. Thus he has appeared in Jagannath Puri and brought dull matter to life. May that Lord Sri Krishna Chaitanya Dev bestow all good fortune upon you." When everyone present heard that verse, they all commended the poet. But Swarup Damodar Goswami requested him, "Kindly explain this verse." Everyone said, very good, sadhu, sadhu, how wonderfully you have glorified the Lord." But immediately Swarup Damodar stopped him at the very first verse and said, "Kindly explain, what is the meaning of this verse?" Swarup Damodar understood very well, but he wanted to hear it from this Brahmana poet from Bengal. So the poet said, "Lord Jagannath is a most beautiful body, and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is exceptionally grave, is the owner of that body. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has appeared here in Neelachal, Jagannath Puri, to spiritualize the entire dull material world." Hearing this, everyone present was greatly happy. So the devotees who had gathered there started saying, very good, what a wonderful verse you have written. What wonderful emotions have been expressed here. What wonderful glorification of the Lord. But Swarup Damodar, who alone was very unhappy, began to speak in great anger. "Arimukh apana kolya sarvanash, duito ishvaratto rannahika vishwas." So Swarup Damodar said, "You are a fool. You have brought ill fortune upon yourself, for you have no knowledge of the existence of the two lords, Jagannath Dev and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, nor have you any faith in them. Purnananda chit swarup Jagannath Rai, tare koila jadannashwar prakrita kai." Lord Jagannath is completely spiritual and full of transcendental bliss. Purnananda, that means he is full of bliss, and Chit Swarup, that means he is completely spiritual. "Tare koili jada nashvara prakrita kai," and you have made his body dull matter, that which is destructible. And you have compared him to a dull, destructible body composed of the inert external energy of the Lord. Purushareshwarya Chaitanya Swayam Bhagavan Tare Koili Kshudra Jeeva Sphulinga Saman. You have calculated Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, full in 6 opulences, to be on the level of an ordinary living being. Instead of knowing him as a supreme fire, you have accepted him as a spark. Many times the example is given that the jiva is like the spark and Krishna is like the fire. Just like a fire has so many sparks, similarly the Supreme Lord has as his parts and parcels so many individual living entities who are his parts and parcels. So Swarup Damodar Goswami continued. "Doithani aparadhe paibi durgati Otatvajna tatvavarne tarai riti. Because you have committed an offense to Lord Jagannath and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, you will attain a hellish destination. You do not know how to describe the absolute truth, but nevertheless you have tried to do so. Therefore you must be condemned. You can imagine the plight of that poor dramatist who was hearing this strong admonition from Swarup Damodar. You are in complete illusion, for you have distinguished between the body and the soul of His Lordship, Lord Jagannath or Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. That is a great offense. And then this is a popularly quoted verse. Ishwara deha kabhu deha dehi bhed swarupa deha chidananda nahi kabhi bhed. At no time is there a distinction between the body and the soul of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. His personal identity and His body are made of blissful spiritual energy. There is no distinction between them. So this is an important point. It's a philosophical conclusion. There is a difference between our soul and our material body. The soul resides within the material body. But for Krishna, there is no such difference between the soul and the body. The body is the soul is the body. The entire body inside out is spiritual. There was a popular philosopher who at one time was the president of India. And he had written many commentaries, including one on the Bhagavad Gita. And Srila Prabhupada had severely criticized this commentary because this philosopher said that when it is Krishna who speaks, it is not actually Krishna, but it is the immeasurable, impersonal within Krishna who speaks. And Prabhupada says that this philosopher is foolish because he doesn't understand that Krishna is the complete whole, fully spiritual, and that there is no difference between His inside and outside, His within and without. There is no difference. So here also Swarup Damodar Goswami points out the first defect of this poet's writing. He says that you are thinking that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is a jiva and that there is a difference between His body and His soul. But that's not a fact. Ishwarera nahi kabhu deha dehi bhed. Deha and dehi. Deha means body. Dehi means that which resides within the body. In other words, the soul. So never at any time for Ishwara or for the Supreme Lord is there a bhed or a difference between the deha and the dehi. Because Krishna's body and His soul are one. Swarupa deha Chidananda Nahika Vibhed. His personal identity and His body are made of blissful spiritual energy. There is no distinction between them. And then he quotes from the Kurma Puran. Deha Dehi Vibhagoyam Nishware Vidyate Kvachit. There is no distinction between the body and the soul of the Supreme Personality of Godhead at any time. And then he continues to quote verses from the Srimad Bhagavatam, which were spoken by Lord Brahma. And then he says, whereas Krishna, the Absolute Truth, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is full of transcendental bliss, possesses all six spiritual opulences in full, and is the master of the material energy, the small conditioned soul who is always unhappy is a servant of the material energy. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Supreme Controller, is always full of transcendental bliss and is accompanied by the potencies known as Ladini and Samvit. The conditioned soul, however, is always covered by ignorance and embarrassed by the threefold miseries of life. Thus, he is a treasure house of all kinds of tribulations. Shoshabha সদয় চিত্তে হইল চমৎকার, সত্য কহে গোসাই তোহার করিয়াছে তিরস্কার। Hearing this explanation, all the members of the assembly were struck with wonder. Swarup Damodar Goswami has spoken the real truth. Earlier they were saying, this dramatist has spoken the truth. Now after they heard Swarup Damodar's explanation, they said, oh, now Swarup Damodar is speaking the truth. This Brahmana from Bengal has committed an offense by wrongly describing Lord Jagannath and Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. When the Bengali poet heard this chastisement from Swarup Damodar Goswami, he was ashamed, fearful and astonished. Indeed, being like a duck in a society of white swans, he could not say anything. Seeing the poet's unhappiness, Swarup Damodar, who was naturally very kind-hearted, advised him so that he could derive some benefit. And he gave him a very important instruction.
Jaho Bhagavata Paro Vaishnavera Sthane Ekanto Ashraya Karo Chaitanya Charane.
If you want to understand Srimad Bhagavatam, you must approach a self-realized Vaishnava and hear from him. Jaho Bhagavata Paro Bhagavatera Sthane. If you want to understand the book Bhagavatam, you must approach the person Bhagavatam and hear from him. You can do this when you have completely taken shelter of the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu.
Chaitanya bhakta ganya nitya karo sanga, tabe te janibe siddhant samudra taranga.
Associate regularly with the devotees of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, for then only will you understand the waves of the ocean of devotional service.
তবে তে পাণ্ডিত্য তোমার হইবে সফল, কৃষ্ণের স্বরূপ লীলা বর্ণিব নির্মল।
Only if you follow the principles of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his devotees, will your learning be successful. Then you will be able to write about the transcendental pastimes of Krishna without material contamination. You have composed this introductory verse to your great satisfaction. But the meaning you have expressed is contaminated by offenses to both Lord Jagannath and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. You have written something irregular, not knowing the regulative principles. But the goddess of learning, Saraswati, has used your words to offer her prayers to the Supreme Lord.
Now he is trying to pacify that poor poet, because the poet was so devastated after hearing the criticism of Swarup Damodar. After only one verse, the devotees had been hearing the whole drama for days together, and Swarup Damodar Goswami just heard the first verse and severely criticized and admonished this Brahmana poet. So in his devastation he was struck speechless, and upon seeing that this Brahmana was actually somewhat innocent, he didn't have an envious mentality. So now Swarup Damodar wanted to pacify him a little bit. So he said, actually it doesn't matter. Whatever you have said, even though your conclusions are wrong, but you have a good heart. You wanted to glorify Krishna. Therefore Goddess Saraswati, the goddess of learning, has taken your words and given the right meaning to it and offered it at the lotus feet of the Lord. And he gives an example that in earlier days also this had been done. Sometimes demons and even Lord Indra, the king of heaven, chastised Krishna, but Mother Saraswati, taking advantage of their words, offered prayers to the Lord. And he continues, because it's such a nice explanation of this verse, we'll reserve it for tomorrow. It's already 7 o'clock, and we'll see very nicely how Swarup Damodar very expertly pacifies this Brahmana and says that your devotional works will not go in vain. Mother Saraswati has offered it to the lotus feet of Krishna, And he gives an example of how Mother Saraswati had done that in the words of offense that was spoken by Indra to Lord Krishna just before the Govardhan Leela. So we'll hear about that tomorrow, and we'll also hear some more pastimes of Swarup Damodar Goswami. There are many wonderful pastimes, and really Chaitanya Charitamrita is such a treasure house of nectar of so many wonderful things. Actually, we must understand Srimad Bhagavatam through Chaitanya Charitamrita. That is the spectacle, so to speak, to be able to really perceive the conclusions of Chaitanya Charitamrita. That is why every now and then Mahaprabhu quotes from the Bhagavatam, and Swarup Damodar and his fellow devotees also quote from the Bhagavatam. And the Srimad Bhagavatam takes on so much more deeper meaning when it is heard through the lotus mouths of devotees like Swarup Damodar, and also from the lotus mouth of the Supreme Lord, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself. So we'll hear more about this tomorrow. Thank you very much. Swarup Damodar Goswami ki jai, Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu ki jai, Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita ki jai. Just for a minute or two, if there's anyone has any questions or comments. Yes. The question is that it was said in the class that Swarup Damodar Goswami said that even a Mahabhagavat may get deviated from his pure spiritual conclusions if he hears Mayavad. But sometimes it is seen that a devotee may go and defeat a Mayavadi. So how does one explain this? Well, for the sake of preaching, sometimes the devotee may do that. Mahaprabhu did it. He thoroughly defeated Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. He thoroughly defeated Prakashananda Saraswati and his fellow sannyasis in Kashi. He established the pure conclusions of devotional service as opposed to the Mayavad conclusions. So he has given us the method and the arguments by which we can defeat the Mayavadis. However, a word of caution also needs to be offered, that unless one is very strong philosophically and devotionally, one may hesitate to plunge headlong into a kind of debate with a Mayavadi who is very strong in his conclusions. We should be cautious that our faith in devotional conclusions is not weaker than the Mayavadi's faith in the Mayavad conclusions. If one is very confident and very strong, and the Mayavadi is also not so strong in his principles, one may try to do that. Otherwise, best such people are left ignored, or we leave it to other devotees who may be very strong, who may go and not become deviated by such philosophical discussions. So we'll talk more tomorrow. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Gopremanande Hari.